Joshua chapter number 1. Thanks everybody for being here this evening. And thanks for sitting so close. I thought everybody was moving up for me, and then I saw the ropes in the back. And I realized, no, that's not the case, no. Thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate everybody being here. If you can, I just want to reiterate what Brother Heller said. If you could be here Sunday night, it's going to be awesome. The kids have been working some long hours, and they've been getting ready and prepared for fine arts here coming up. And if you guys know what it's like to have to give a speech, you guys remember that in high school, junior high, having to give up, and you know, it's your peers, friends you can talk with outside, no problem, and then you get up in front of them, and it's like you freeze, you know, just kind of like, but it's tough, and they've been doing a lot of work. So I encourage you, if you can, come on out. It's going to be a good time. We're going to hear some preaching from Benjamin Marquez. We'll be preaching. We'll hear some singing, some speeches. It's going to be a good time. And also, ladies, like again, reiterate, if you can come to Ladies Night Out on Friday, it's awesome. It's not even, honestly, it's like, it's not even a guys event, but it's one of my favorite events of the year, which is kind of funny. But we just, I think the guys have a great time serving, which is fun, you know, because, and we get the leftovers, which is always awesome too. So I convinced a couple guys to help out because we get leftovers. So no, I'm just kidding. But it's going to be a fun time. I encourage you guys to come if you can. And it's going to be great. Wear your Hawaiian shirts. I heard it's supposed to be raining, but we'll pretend like it's not, and we'll have a great time in here, all right? We'll turn the heat way up. How about that? And we'll just pretend it's like Hawaii, all right? Joshua chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read the first 6 verses of this book. I'm going to preach through the whole book. I'm just kidding. That's really long. It's a Wednesday night. Brother Farmer's up at 7:20. It'll be a quick evening, all right? It's funny. I don't know who was joking about this last time. It's like whenever I preach, I feel like we have like 3 prayer requests. And like prayer request time is like so short. And I usually get up here and I'm like, man, I have to come up with something to say now. But no, I'm just kidding. I have something to say. But anyways, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1, it says this. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's pray, and we'll, as we start this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you again for tonight. God, I thank you for all the people that are here tonight, God. I know Wednesday, the middle of the week, after a long day at work, God, I pray that you just bless them for being here this evening. Bless them for their faithfulness, God. God, I pray that you be with this service right now. God, I pray that you would be with me. Give me the words to say, God, as you've laid this message on my heart, Lord, about faith and Joshua's faith. I pray that we had learned something from this man and even more from you and how faithful you were to him, Lord. I pray that you be with the Awanas right now. I pray that you just bless them as they're out. God, I know there's unsaved kids out there. So I just pray, God, that we would see somebody saved through our Awana ministry, even tonight, God. I just pray that you do a great work in our church. Thank you for everyone, again, that's here this evening. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I love, I think if many of you, if you've heard me preach before, I love to study people in the Bible. I like to study their lives. And I like to, if you've ever heard, like last time I preached in November, I preached about Zacchaeus. I've preached about different people of the Bible. And I like to take aspects of their life and study those aspects. Two of my favorite people in the Bible to study are David and Joshua. Joshua, who we're going to be able to talk about tonight. David, I get to talk about with my 5th and 6th grade class. I love it. I love talking about these two guys. And the reason I think I like studying their lives so much is because, well, first of all, there's a lot that's said about them, right? There's, I mean, David, there's a couple books that talk about him. And then Joshua, there's a whole book that speaks about his life. And these guys just are great examples. And I think that there's some aspects of their life that you can really feel like, hey, yeah, I felt like that a couple times too. You know, like not necessarily conquering people, but, you know, there's different aspects of the faith and the trust and all that that he had in God that we can apply to our lives. I love studying the different people that God used in the Bible. And I think sometimes when we study the people in the Bible, we can almost put them up on a kind of like a pedestal, like, man, those are great men of faith. And they were, no doubt they were. But a lot of times we do that because we see what God did through them, and we kind of see, we know the ends of the story. You know, if you know anything about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and a bunch of the miracles that God did in the book of Joshua, we see, man, this was a great man of faith, which he was. But that didn't just, I don't think that just happened. It just didn't, he just didn't wake up one day, he was born, and he was a great man of faith. I think God grew him into that man of faith that he was. Okay, a lot of this, when we take a closer look at these people in the Bible, when we take a look at them, we notice that, hey, they're human too, and they need to grow, and they need to exercise faith just as we do. And such is the case of Joshua. Let me give you a little bit of background information, because that's what I like to do when I'm studying a different story. The people of Israel now have been wandering in the wilderness. So I'm a teacher. I'm going to ask you guys. I'm going to get some interaction. How long were they wandering in the wilderness? 40 years. They were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, it wasn't just like a big-time camping trip. That was a punishment for them, right? The punishment for them because 40 years earlier, they didn't trust God and go into the promised land and conquer the people that God told them to conquer. Because of that, that generation that distrusted God had to die in the desert, basically. And the generation that came up behind them was the ones who were going to move on to the promised land, and then they were going to fulfill, and they were going to be able to inherit that promise that God had given to Abraham so many hundreds of years before this, right? And as that generation then is dying off, and if you just turn a page or so over, the last chapter in Deuteronomy right before this, Moses dies. Okay, and now the people are getting ready to go. And as Moses dies, there's a new leader that God appoints. And this is where we come into we learn about this guy, Joshua. Now, Joshua's been around. Joshua's been around since the slavery in the time of Egypt. He's been around for a long time. It was only him and Caleb that were part of that previous generation because of their faith when they went to spy on the land of Canaan. Because of their faith, they were the only two in that generation that got to move on to the promised land, which is pretty awesome for these guys. Okay? And this is where we start our story now. Joshua has now been given this command of God. Hey, you are going to be the new leader for my people. You are going to lead my people on to victory. And tonight we're going to look at the faith that it took Joshua and the faith that he had in God for doing something that was big time. A big assignment for a guy who may have at times said, man, this might be over my head, or maybe he felt a little overwhelmed. We're going to see a couple of things or a couple of ways that he grew in his faith in God, which led to some of the great stories we know in the book of Joshua. Now, first of all, a daunting task. In verse number 2, you can see that God gives Joshua a task. He says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. This task that God gave to Joshua was threefold. He said, I want you, first of all, to lead my people. Now that's a big thing, you know, to lead anybody, really. For me, you know, I had to lead my family, I had to lead the school, different things, and that's a big deal for me. But I couldn't imagine leading, hey, here's a nation, why don't you lead them? I mean, that's over 2 million people that Joshua is now in charge of. Like, that's a big, heavy responsibility. And not only is it just a people, these are God's chosen people, right? Quite the responsibility. That's the first thing. He said, not only that, I want you to go into the land, and I want you to conquer the people that are there. And that's where you hear of, you know, the Hittites and the Gibeonites and all those Ites, you know, all those people. He said, I want you to go in there. I want you to conquer them. Now, if you remember, those are the same people that their parents saw and said, there's no way we're conquering those people. Okay? And Joshua, God's telling Joshua, I want you to lead my people into the promised land, and I want you to conquer those people. And I also want you to claim that inheritance that I promised, again, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob so many years ago. I want you to do that. Now, this is the task that God gave to Joshua. And I don't know about you, but, like, sometimes, have you ever gotten a task or something at work or whatever, and you're like, there's no way, you know, this is a big deal, okay? And no doubt that's how Joshua felt. This was a big task left to Joshua, and it may have seemed overwhelming to him. Let's put this on our level now. We may not be called to lead a nation of 2 million people. You know, we may not be called to lead a church like this one. But maybe God is calling you to do something for him that seems impossible. Maybe something that seems like it is a bigger task than I can fulfill. Maybe that's, you know, we've been hearing lately, ever since the revival, we've been hearing preaching about the gospel, and pastor's been going on Sunday mornings, great Sunday morning message about sharing the gospel and all that. You know, maybe God's saying to you, maybe over the past couple weeks, God's saying, I want you to witness this person. Maybe he's saying, there's an area of service in the church, or there's an area of service that I want you to fulfill. And you may say, there's no way I can do that. You know, maybe it's giving. Maybe God says, I want you to start giving, or maybe I want you to give more, whatever it is. And you're thinking in your mind, there's no way that I can do that. There's no way. And maybe God's asking you to do something, but it's going to take faith on your part. So we see, first of all, about this daunting task. The task at hand was, again, this big task that God gave to Joshua. Then we see the doubt in his mind. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says this. Again, God is talking to Joshua. He says this, be strong and of good courage. Look at verse number 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at down at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Three times in one chapter, God's telling Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Sometimes you can think about it in your life. Maybe you've doubted and somebody has to say, no, you can do it. No, you can do it. You can do it. You know, how many times, you know, Haley, you know, if you ask her to do something, you know, I hate when it's, I can't do that. You know, I can't. No, you can. And I think that's kind of what God was saying to Joshua. Hey, be strong and of a good courage. Only be strong and very courageous. And then he says, be strong and of a good courage again and again. Why? Because I believe doubt may have been creeping his mind. Not necessarily doubt towards God, because Joshua had seen God provide time and time and time again over the past 40 years. But I think he may have been doubting himself. You know, whoa, God, are you sure you've chosen the wrong guy or the right guy? I don't know about this, but the task was a large one. And no doubt Joshua may have doubted his ability to fulfill this task. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:26, it's a familiar verse. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, Joshua may have felt like that. You know, I'm nothing, God. Why are you calling me? And we understand from the rest of that passage that Paul wrote is that God calls those kinds of people so he can get the ultimate glory, so that he can get the glory from what he does through that person. He may have felt unable. You got to realize that the man he was following in the footsteps of was Moses. Now, that's pretty big shoes to fill. Moses, who had been leading the people of Israel for 40 years. And if you know the story of Moses as he's leading, you know, he was a great man of faith. He was a great man of God. And he was a great leader. How many times did God say, you know what, these guys are complaining, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses got down and he prayed for them and he asked God, you know, don't do that. Moses was a great leader. The Bible's focused on Moses for the past, you know, four books of the Bible before Joshua. This really was a great man. And Joshua may have been saying, man, God, you chose the right guy when you picked Moses, but, you know, this is a big job for me. But here's the thing. God didn't call Joshua to fill Moses' shoes. That wasn't what he was doing. What he was doing, he was calling Joshua to fulfill the purpose that God had for Joshua. And I think sometimes we look at other people around us and in comparison sometimes we say, hey, I can't do what that guy's doing. Or there's no way that I can do what she's doing. And we got to understand that that's not what God is calling us to do. You know, I can't get up here and sing. You don't want me to get up here and sing. If you guys remember when I had to lead singing a few times, you know, you don't want me to do that again. I'm glad Brother Lee's here now. You know, there's things that I can't do. There's things that you can't do or that God hasn't given us those gifts to do. So sometimes we look at comparison and we say, man, there's no way I could get up and preach. You know, there's no way I can get up and sing. There's no way I can lead a class. But there's always something that you can do. And God's not calling you to do something, you know, God's not calling you necessarily to do the job that pastor's doing. You know, God's not saying, hey, Brother Farmer, I want you to fill Brother Heller's shoes. God has a purpose for you, and that's what he wants you to fulfill. You're not trying to just fill somebody's shoes. He wants you to fulfill his purpose for your life. The same grace, and this is awesome, the same grace that was given to Moses to fulfill the task that he was given to lead those people in Israel was the same grace that was going to be given to Joshua. And that same grace to fulfill our task, fulfill our purpose, is available to us too. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." God's grace is sufficient for whatever he calls us to do. You know, we can again say, I can never do that, or this is a big task. But whatever he's calling you to do, God's grace is sufficient, and God can do it. And God can help you through whatever he's called you to do. So first of all, I see this daunting task. It's this big thing that God has called him to do. Okay? And if that was it, that'd be kind of depressing because, whoa, that's a big, heavy deal. But I see next, we see a divine help. A divine help. In verse number 5, the Bible says this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We see God steps in and we see a divine help. First of all, I see a promised presence in verse number 5. He says this in the middle of verse 5. He says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." There's a promised presence there. God didn't give Joshua this plan. He said, "Hey, Joshua, I want you to lead 2 million people into this land and go conquer all these people that are great at warfare and then have these giant walled cities. And, you know, here, I'll give you this army and go to it. Go do it now." Okay? God promised him his presence. He says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Moses and Joshua both had access to that same presence of God. And I think this, the fact that how God said it to Joshua, I think was so comforting when he said, "As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee." Moses and God had a special relationship. If you've read the passage of scriptures, the Bible in one point, it was in Exodus 33:11. The Bible says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." I mean, that's a pretty close relationship. But that same presence of God that Moses had, God said, that's available to you too, Joshua. Yeah, I'm not leaving you just to do this thing on your own. I'm going to go before you. I am going to be there with you. Over and over again, God gave the promise of his presence to those who would surrender to his plan. A lot of times in the Bible, when God would give somebody a task, he would say, "But I'm going to be with you." Jacob, when he was reaffirming his God's promise to him about the inheritance he was going to possess, he said this, "And behold, I am with thee." When God gave Gideon the task of going after the Midianites with that small army, he said this, "The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee." Solomon, when he was becoming the next king of Israel, the Bible says this, "For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee." Whenever God was giving somebody a task, he also said, "I'm going to promise you my presence. I'm not going to leave you there to do it on your own. I am going to be there." The same presence, and I love this, the same presence that was available to Moses, the same presence that was available to Joshua is available to us too. If God's saying, "I want you to do this," whether it's witnessing or whether it's serving or whatever it may be, if God's calling you to do something or if God's laying on your heart to do something for him, he's not going to leave you alone to do it. The same presence is available to us. Matthew 28:20, Jesus has just given the great commission. And at the very tail end of that, he says this, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And then we get another promise in Hebrews 13:5, for he said this, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We have the promise of God's presence when he has called us to a task. Although it may seem daunting, we can understand that, hey, I'm not alone. God is with me. Not only do I see a promised presence, I also see a promised power in verse number 5. Again, after he says this, "As I was with Moses, I will be with thee." And I love this part. He says, "I will not fail thee." I will not fail thee. We see a promised power here. God told Abraham, I mean, this is a long time ago, okay? It's not like, you know, here's Abraham and then we skip a book and here's Joshua and it's hundreds of years, okay? God told Abraham a long time ago, "I have this land that I'm going to give you, and I want you to go." And Abraham obeyed, and we know that the promise was given to Abraham, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then they spend all that time in Egypt, right? And now the promise is given to Moses again. But the promise isn't only given. He also says, "Hey, there's some guys there that you're going to have to kick out. There are some people there that are inhabiting that land that you're going to have to get rid of." And God promised them. God promised them a long time ago that he would drive them out. God promised he would not fail them. and he would not let them down. If you've read the book of Joshua, how many of you guys have read the book of Joshua? Most people? It's a great book. Lots of great stories of faith and everything. And I love how God puts it here. He says, I will not fail thee. You know, when you're reading the book of Joshua, sometimes you do see some failures in that book. You know, I'm going to spoil the story a little bit. Is that okay? Joshua, they go across the Jordan River, and the very first battle that they have, do you guys remember what it was? Jericho. Okay, Jericho, where they walk around the walls, walls come tumbling down, right? That was the very first battle that they encountered there. It wasn't even really a battle, right? It was just, hey, I get to walk around this wall, and boom, that's my kind of battle, right? But that was the first battle. And that was an awesome victory. And now we know right after that, there was a guy named Achan. You know, he took something that he wasn't supposed to. God said, don't take this. He took it. And because of that, there were some consequences, which I'll get to in a second. But the next battle that they went to after Jericho was a place called Ai. Okay? Literally, it's spelled Ai, and that's how it's pronounced too. Ai. Okay? So he goes after Ai. But if you read the passage where they're just about to go there. Now, put Achan aside for a second, okay, because we know that that's part of why this happened. But there was no prayer involved. Okay, Joshua just, the people, they get together and they say, hey, where are we going next? Oh, let's go to Ai. This is my version, okay? But they said, we're going to Ai. Now, let's not send everybody. It's just this little city. Look at what we just did. And he says, let's just send 3,000. So they send 3,000 over to Ai, and they have a battle. And they end up actually losing. And 36 men die because they fight Ai, and they come running back, and 36 people died in that battle. Now, after a great victory like Jericho, you see this this defeat in Ai. And we know that in part it had to do with Achan, but I think it also had a part to do with the fact that, hey, we're just kind of, hey, you know, we're good to go now. And because of their lack of trusting God, their lack of following God's plan for that battle. Now, God said, I will never fail thee. Okay? But every time we see Joshua failing, or the people of Israel failing in the book of Joshua, it's because they took things into their own hands. There's I can go over story over story, but there's another story where they make a pact with these people. I think it's called they're called the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites totally fooled Joshua. Why? Because there was no failure or there's no prayer involved, and Joshua again failed time and time again because when he didn't trust God, but whenever he trusted God. Whenever he followed God's plan, God never failed him. He had a promised power that God was with him. And again, just like his presence is promised to us, God's power is promised to us too. In 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Whatever problems, whatever thing, or whatever task God has given to us, he is greater than everything, and there's nothing that can stand in his way. So we see a promised presence. We saw a promised power, and last we'll see a promised victory. In verse number 6, look at what the Bible says. He said again, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He's not even talking about the people. He's just saying, there's this land, I'm going to divide it. Those people, don't worry about them. Yeah, I've got this. God promised them a victory. God promised that the enemy would be defeated. I love in verse number 9, look at what God says here. He says this. He says, have not I commanded thee? Okay, have not I commanded thee? It was almost like God was saying, Joshua, I've told you to do this, so I'm going to come through for you. Have not I commanded thee? It's going to happen, so I'm going to give you the victory. If God was guiding Joshua to it, he was going to guide Joshua through it. Okay? There's no standing before those that have God. Romans 8:31 says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that was the case for Joshua, man. When he had God on his side, I mean, if you read the story of the Battle of Jericho, that was amazing. You know, there's no reason that the walls came tumbling down because they walked around it and then they yelled at that wall and down came the walls, okay? And that's a big deal because, again, when those 12 spies 40 years earlier went into the promised land and spied out, the two things that scared them the most were the giants and the big walls of the cities. And God took care of those big walls by screaming at them. You know, that is awesome. And when they saw victories, they saw some great victories. And if we trust God, even with the tasks that he's given to us, we'll see some great victories. So I saw, again, a daunting task, divine help, God steps in. And lastly, I see a definite result. Look at verse number 11. We didn't read this, but jumping down a little bit, the first 9 verses is God talking to Joshua. And then the next couple verses in the Joshua chapter 1 is Joshua now talking to the people of Israel. And the last part is the people of Israel basically saying, hey, yeah, we're going to do what you say. But verse number 11 is Joshua talking to the people of Israel. And he says this, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Of this definite result, I first see a step of faith. In verse number 11, again, we see a step of faith. Before God could fulfill his promises, Joshua had to exercise his faith. Joshua had to take a step. Okay, God gave him a task, and then God promised him his presence, his power, and victory. But Joshua now had to do something about that, right? Divine sovereignty is not a substitute for human responsibility. There's a part that we need to take in this whole idea of faith. Again, 40 years ago, I'm going back again, 40 years ago, if they would have had faith, they could have been in the promised land. They could have been partaken in this. They could have probably just had already been done with all this stuff, you know? But 40 years ago, they didn't take the step of faith that they needed to. They had everything. You know, God said to those people, I want you to go into this land. You have my power. You have my presence. You have the victory already won. You just need to go. But they chose not to. But Joshua now takes this step of faith. In verse number 11, look again. Let's read it one more time. It says this. This is Joshua talking to the people. He says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan. Okay, ye shall. He says, this is going to happen. Now, that in of itself is a big deal. Why? Because there's 2 million people that need to cross this flowing river with no bridge, no boats, nothing like that, you know. God, but Joshua knew, hey, God commanded me to do this. It's going to happen. I'm going to keep on moving. Then he goes on to say, in 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Those words that he's saying, he's saying in a position of faith. He's standing on a position of faith, like God had already provided the victory for him. Hey, God may have called you to do something for him, but it always requires a step of faith on our part. Okay, God's asking me to do something, and though it seems daunting, though it seems like a big deal, or it seems like it's kind of an impossibility, and although he's given us promises that, hey, I'm not leaving you alone to do this, but there's a part that we need to take, that we need to step out in faith, and we need to say, okay, God, I'm taking that step. I'm going to do what you've told me to do, and I don't know the outcome necessarily. Joshua, nowhere did God say, hey, Joshua, I'm going to part the Jordan River for you. You know, I'm going to, and then you guys can all walk, and it's going to be awesome. You know, he never said that, but Joshua said, I know God said this is what's going to happen, or God said that we're going to pass over the Jordan River, so he just trusted God, and he did what God wanted him to do. When you trust God's promises and step out by faith, you can be sure that the Lord will give you the directions you need when you need them. God will direct you the whole way. And Joshua and Moses, I think this is awesome, they grew into the men of faith they were. Joshua, again, we see him in Joshua chapter 1. At the very end of the book, at the end of Joshua, there's a great passage of scripture, and most of us know it. He's giving a challenge before his death to the people of Israel. And most of us know it. You know, he says this. He's basically challenging the people. At the very end of his challenge, he says this. You know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we know that we see that this guy, nothing's going to deter him for the rest of his life. Man, whatever you guys choose, that's what you're going to choose. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, this man grew through this time of faith. Moses was the same thing. It wasn't that he just, again, was born and then he was a great man of faith. If you know the beginnings of Moses, right? Remember when he was at the burning bush? You remember how many excuses he tried to give to God? He said, I don't know, I'm not the best talker. He's getting all these excuses. But eventually he grew into this great man of faith that he was. But it wasn't just something that happened overnight. It was a process of taking steps of faith. Faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. The more you trust God, the more faith that your faith will go stronger the more you have it in God. You're going to say, man, okay, again, Joshua's been around for the past 40 years. He saw the Red Sea split. He saw God provide the manna. He saw God do all these things in the wilderness. He saw God do great things through Moses. Okay, and his faith grew during that time. And now God said, now you're the leader, Joshua. And now his faith is growing even more so. I mean, who would lead a guy Who would lead an army to walk around a wall? That, you know, just that plan is ludicrous, you know. But he did it. Why? Because he trusted God. He said, God, I have faith that you're going to do this. And again, it was a muscle that he worked on. It was a muscle that got stronger, his faith was. So we see that Joshua took a step of faith, and then when we see a sure victory. From this point in the story, from Joshua chapter 1, like I said, there was some failures, but from this point on, we see some great victories in the life of Joshua. You can read again about the story of Jericho. You can read the story of the victory at Jericho, the crossing of the Jordan River. One of my favorite stories in the book of Joshua, do you remember when he was fighting the army, and then he prayed for the sun to stand still, and God stood to stand that's a confusing word, sentence to say. God, the sun stood still. There we go. The sun stood still for almost a whole entire day, the Bible says. That's awesome. Joshua saw some great things happen, okay? And we see some great victories from this point on. We have promises that have been given us by God and a sure calling to victory as well, okay? In verse number 9 again, God said this, "Have not I commanded thee, Joshua, I've commanded thee, and if I've commanded thee, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you what I'm going to do exactly what I've told you I'm going to do. Now, will you just take this step of faith and do it?" What can we put in place of verse 9? You know, if it's for you, "Have not I commanded thee to tell that person about me? Have not I commanded you to give? Have I not commanded you to be faithful? Have I not commanded you to serve? If I've commanded you to do that, I'm going to give you everything that you need to do it. But what you need to do, what I need to do, is take that step of faith to walk out and do what he's called us to do. What's God called you to do that will take that with your step of faith he wants to fulfill through you?" There was a story I heard, and some of you have probably heard this story before. There's a guy named Edward Kimball. Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball before? I think you will after I tell you the story. But Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. He was just a layman. He was just somebody that served in his church, and he was a Sunday school teacher. And he had a boy that came to his Sunday school and was not a saved young man, but he came to his Sunday school, and Edward Kimball became very burdened for this guy. And he felt, literally, he said he felt the Lord was tugging him to go and witness to this guy who had come and visited his Sunday school. So he found out where he worked. He worked at a shoe store, and Edward Kimball went to the shoe store. Now, again, he felt God tugging him, and he said, "You know, this is what I want you to do." Edward Kimball, it's kind of a funny story because you could say, like, man, I would totally do this too. The whole way there, the story says that he was basically fighting with himself, like, I'm going to go to this place of work. I can't do this. This is not, I don't know. And he says he was debating so much with himself that he walked right past the store, and he says he circled around the block. Have you ever done that before? Like, I don't know, and you keep on, like, walking or whatever. You know, it's undecisive. That's what he felt like. Finally, the story goes, is that he just said, "Fine, I'm going to do it." And he goes in there, and the story says he puts his hand on the guy, on this young man's arm, and basically says, gives him the gospel. Literally, here's a quote from him. He said this, "I went up to him, put my hand on his shoulder, and as he leaned over, I made my plea." And I like this part. He said, "And I feel that it was not that it was a really weak one. I don't know just what the words I used. I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love of Christ and the love Christ wanted in return." And because of this, again, he said, "I don't even know how effective that was." But the young man accepted Christ. And the young man turned out to be D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 18th, 19th century. And why I brought up that story was this guy, this Edward Kimball, who maybe not many people know, said, "Man, God is putting something on my heart." And like he said, he didn't necessarily think, "Man, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I'm talking to this young man in the store. It's going to be a little awkward." I don't know what he was thinking exactly, but he took that step of faith. He said, "Okay, God, I'm going to do this." And because he went into the store, he led D.L. Moody to Christ, and D.L. Moody was, again, one of the greatest evangelists of that time. Thousands of people came to Christ under the ministry of D.L. Moody, and it was the effect of one man, Edward Kimball, that led that young boy to Christ. Now, I don't know what God's calling you to do. I don't know what kind of service or what he's been working on your heart to do. But all we need to do, man, is take that step of faith and say, "God, you're calling me to do this. You've given me the promise of your presence. You've given me the promise of your power and your victory. God, I'm going to do it, but I need to take that step of faith." Again, what has God called you to do that will take faith? And I encourage you to take that step of faith and claim God's promise of his presence, of his power, and ultimately his victory. Let's pray, and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, God. I thank you again for this passage of Scripture, God. I thank you, God, I do thank you for the example of Joshua. But more than that, God, I thank you so much for showing yourself so faithful, God. You promised your presence, God, and you never left his side, God. I thank you that you promised your power, and God, you showed yourself so strong in his life. God, I thank you, God, that when he did take the step of faith, God, that you did not fail him, that you did not forsake him. God, I pray that you'd use this lesson in the life of Joshua in our lives, God, that maybe you're calling us to do something. And whatever that may be, God, I pray that you'd help us to take that step of faith that we need to take. God, help us to work out our faith muscle, God. And I pray that you'd help us to be men and women of faith, God, that trust you and that will do whatever you'd call us to do. Now, I don't know what God's working on in your heart, but if we can all stand together, and if God's doing something in your heart, if he's called you to do something, if you feel him asking you to do something, I encourage you to solidify that. Say, God, I will take that step of faith.